me to preach. It's an honor to be here. Try to give you a word of encouragement here. On the average, I usually don't preach more than 30 or 40 minutes. Okay? So the end's in sight. Amen? Having said that, I'll probably preach an hour. Let me find my notes. Turn to 1 Corinthians. My pulpit at church is out of a Jewish synagogue. It's big enough for the scrolls, so I'm used to spreading out here. Nathaniel, would you pray for me?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting us all be here, Lord. Thank you for the preaching. Lord, this is a great opportunity to be here on a Saturday with the brethren and sisters, Lord. I ask that you'll just speak to our hearts through this message, Lord, and give us some encouragement from it to take home, to apply it through the next week, and to be a blessing in others' lives, Lord. In Jesus Christ, name I pray. Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Start reading at verse 17. The Bible says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Art thou called being a servant? Call not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Verse 23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Amen. If you're saved in here today, there's been a purchase made.
Amen.
Amen. Acts, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, you don't have to turn there. And Acts 20:28 says that what was paid was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He paid for you and I with his blood. So we all agree that if you're saved, you've been paid for. Sounds like a slave to me, doesn't it? We were talking earlier, Brother Ashcroft was talking about slavery and things. God has paid for you and I. He's bought us. We are his. The only thing is, my owner has made me heir. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 9 through 14, but we're not going to read the whole thing. There's a purchase that's made here. I want to read verse 24. That'll be enough. Or verse 14, excuse me. Verse chapter 32 and verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of a purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days." As we read about this purchase, we find out that there are two evidences of the purchase that was made. One is sealed, one is opened. That sealed evidence is binding. It's legal. No one can dispute it. When you go to the store, you get a receipt. What is that? That's a sealed evidence of the purchase that you've made.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and chapter 4 and verse 30 says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Are we not? Until the day of redemption. So we have a sealed salvation. We have a legal, binding salvation. Amen. God cannot dispute it. The devil cannot dispute it. You cannot dispute it. If you're saved, you are saved. Thank God for that. Amen. We've been sealed. It's binding. It's legal. We don't have to worry about keeping our salvation.
Amen.
I was raised in a Methodist church. Of course, they teach that you can lose your salvation. Now, I never met anybody that lost it. But they teach that. One of the greatest things that I learned after I got saved was that I'm eternally secure. I don't have to worry about my salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that? It's sad when I hear people say, "I hope I make it to heaven." I'm not hoping. Thank God for that. I know where I'm going. What if you got saved and God handed you a scroll, just a little scroll, and he said, "Now you keep this. This is very precious. This was paid for by my son, by his blood." And he says, "And you can't get into heaven without this scroll." He says, "You keep it." You ever hid something away and forgot about it? You know, what would you do with it? Where would you put it? Our house burned in 2008. In 2009, we rebuilt and we moved in to it. And I didn't have any place to put my guns. And we were going away for 2 weeks. So I thought, well, I'll just hide them. So I hid them throughout the house. And it took me at least 2 months to find them all. And I'm serious about that. The only reason I didn't get upset about it is because I knew they were in the house somewhere, and sooner or later I'd find them. But I couldn't, you know, where'd they go? I couldn't find them. Or if you put in a, you know, you put your salvation in a deposit box and the bank burnt down, gone. Or you could be like Esau. You get backslidden and sell it. God does not trust us with it.
That's good.
He does not trust us with it. And I wouldn't trust myself with it. You don't have to be concerned about keeping your salvation. What a burden to be lifted there. Amen? Now be concerned about pleasing God. Be concerned about your testimony before people. Be concerned about other Christians. Be concerned about the souls of men. But you don't have to be concerned about yourself if you're truly saved. And thank God for that. It's sealed. There are some things we don't know about salvation. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 4, John was told he was going to write, but then a voice from heaven said, "Seal it up." He said, "I don't want you writing it." Daniel, he was told to seal it up until the times of the end. When Paul was taken to the third heavens, he said what? There were things uttered that were not lawful for man to utter. Amen? There's things that we really don't know everything about our salvation. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, there's a verse here that I love to read. Verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, that's a trillion years from now,
yeah.
In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
A trillion years from now, we're still going to be awestruck.
Amen.
About what God has done for us and what God has given us and what God has prepared for us. I mean, it's just going to go on and on and on. We're just going to say, you know, just an eternal wow. Amen. I mean, the ages to come. He's just going to keep showing us things. And we're just going to keep seeing things. We're going to see how wonderful, how great a salvation that we have. I wish we'd get a hold of that a little bit just now. It would change our lives. There's a sealed evidence of a purchase. But then it said that there's also what? An open evidence. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your, what? Body and in your spirit, which are God's. We say that we're free in the United States of America. We have freedom of movement, but you can't get in your car without buckling up, right? You can't hunt without a license. You can't carry a firearm without a permit. Government decides they want your land, why they'll take it. So we're not as free as we might think we are or wish we are. But let me just say this. If you're saved, you've lost your freedom anyway. You have. You've lost it. You've given it to the Lord. Amen? That should be our attitude as Christians. It should be. Instead of being a rebel. Amen? So there's a sealed proof. There's an open proof. The sealed is a sales receipt. The open proof of me owning that car out there is that I'm driving it. Right? The open proof that I own these clothes is that I'm wearing them. I'm living in my house. So if you're saved in here, there needs to be an open proof of your salvation. There should be a difference. We are new creatures in Christ, are we not? Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Isn't that what it says? So there should be a change. There should be a difference after salvation. We should walk differently. We should talk differently. We should dress differently. We should smell different. We were in Bible school, and we had... Lord blessed us with this big brick house that we were living with out in the country, but you couldn't heat it. It was just impossible to heat, so we had wood stoves. We were burning wood, and every now and then the stove would get plugged up. Ever happened to anybody? And the house would fill with smoke. That happened on a Sunday morning. We woke up on Sunday morning, and the house was just full of smoke. So we went to church, and we're sitting next to the church secretary. We sit down there, and she's sitting there, and all this, and she goes... She says, there's a smoker sitting next to us, somewhere close to us. We didn't tell her it was us. We should laugh at different things. Mm-hmm. We should listen to different music. I said music. Not just music with different words.
That's right.
Brother Parks said one day, he says, Christian rock is like Holy Ghost whiskey. Same thing. Yeah. So there should be an open proof that you've been bought. Bought by your Lord. Baptism is an open proof. Is it not? Yeah. It's obedience to God's word. After you're saved, you should get baptized. You should submit yourself to the Lord's baptism. Your Bible is an open proof. Having it, carrying it, speaking it. Now, I understand it's convenient to have your Bible on your phone, on your computer, to read it. But there's just something about carrying this old Bible. Amen. There's just,
you got it. Yes, sir.
There's a difference. There's a difference. I like to see people carrying their Bible. You know what? The world needs to see that too. It's an open evidence. Your appearance, you should look different. Amen?
Amen.
Things change.
That's right.
Our lives should be an open proof. We shouldn't want to live the same way that we lived before salvation. We should want to live different. Stay away from some of the places and some of the people. Go to church. People should be able to know where to find you when your church is open.
That's right.
Shouldn't they?
Yep,
yeah.
That's right.
Hey, well, they've got church going on. I know exactly where he's at. Where?
That's good.
Church is open down there.
Yep.
You can find him down there. That should be the way it is.
Yes, sir.
Go back to Jeremiah 32. In verse 14, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of a purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and what? Put them in an earthen vessel."
Oh, come on.
That's good.
There are a lot of beautiful buildings in this world, are there not? Huge, beautiful buildings. God chose none of them to dwell
in.
That's right.
There are a lot of beautiful places in this world. God chose none of them to dwell in.
Good, brother.
God did choose you and I.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
That's good. Yes, sir.
God chose to dwell in us.
Thank you, Jesus.
How often do you think about that?
Not enough.
You're right, not enough. That he's in us. He's dwelling in us. Where I go, he goes.
Right.
What I hear, he hears. What I see, he sees.
That's right, sir. Yep.
He's in us. He's dwelling in us. Why? That we might continue. That we might continue. There's a danger of slacking off. There's a danger of some of those open evidences dropping off. And brother, you said that you probably don't have as many convictions as you did when you first got saved. I understand that. They have to be God-given convictions.
Right.
You know, when you first get saved, my preacher, Pastor Estep, used to say, you know, he used to tell young converts, he says, until you get your own convictions, borrow mine.
That's
yeah, that's what he'd say. You just borrow mine until you get your own.
Yeah, that's good.
And yeah, it's good.
It is.
But then when you start getting your own, those convictions that are from God, those true convictions, things that God has shown you and things that God has spoken to you about, those things aren't going to drop off. Amen? They're going to stay there. I understand, you know, I'm not going to. But he wants us to continue. There's a sealed proof of evidence. That's up to God. And that's the way we like it. We want God to do it all for us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God, take this from me. God, you know, do this and do that. And I'm not saying don't pray that, but God wants you to do some things too.
Right, right.
Amen? He expects you to do some things too. We'd like it if God just did it all for us. You know, boy, it'd be real easy, wouldn't it? But it's not that way. A lot of these open evidences we have to work on. We have to keep those. God's taking care of those sealed evidences. Those are His. He's taking care of them. We don't have to worry about any of those. But those open evidences. You know, people say, judge not. Christians shouldn't judge. Yes. But I'll tell you who does judge. That world out there is judging.
That's right.
Pastor Asquith was talking about a man that got saved. He walked into the bar and told everybody he got saved. And they said, well, you might not want to be here. See, they know there's a difference. They know there should be a difference. They know that there should be some evidences of that purchase that was made. Those are open evidences that this world, that your neighbors, that the people around you are watching, and they are watching. Amen? So there's a sealed evidence, there's an open evidence. And God's inside of us that those evidences might continue. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, go ahead.
Amen. Amen. That was something.
Amen.
Amen. That was worth the wait.